GM, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Morning Mint, your daily NFT Web3 crypto show. I'm so glad to be back. It's been quite the morning already. You've woken up, you've already seen that we have green charts everywhere. Your bags are up. No matter what your bags are up today. Hopefully everybody's enjoying that. We've got a great show for you today, a little bit different than usual. Purely just we're changing things up. We're early on. And so you're going to have a little bit different than what we normally see, which is I'm just going to kind of go through some topics, some news points, and then we're going to focus a little bit more on what you need to be doing today and going forward, because time is running out. It's not really a clickbait title. It's more of reality, because every single day we're getting closer to higher, you know, numbers growing up, more entrants are entering the industry. And what you could have done at the beginning of last cycle, those good moves, those buys, like buying punks, getting allocation to the right coins, that time is slowly running out to make those same moves. So we will go over that today, and we'll talk a little bit more on some other things that are a little time sensitive because of unlocks and TGE and airdrop claims. So we'll get into a lot this show, and hopefully it's valuable to you. But good morning, GM. I see we have Marky Mark in the chat today. GM Mark, good to see you. Hope you're not being too much of a degenerate. And congrats on your daughter's birth. I hope everybody is focused, okay? Because it's an interesting time to be in the space. Woke up this morning. And we saw green everywhere, like I just said. And, you know, we're seeing 5-4 ETH. Or 4-5% rises on almost every token out there. And you know, this has been fueled by this recurring buying pressure that we're seeing, one on the ETF side of all the Bitcoin accumulation, but we're also seeing a lot of other people starting to take wind of what's going on in the market. We're also seeing Ethereum not lagging as much. And we touched on this yesterday. You need to be aware of what's happening in traditional finance a little bit more than usual. Previous cycles, everything that was happening within the crypto and Web3 space was pretty insulated from what was happening on Wall Street. And the Fed was still having somewhat of an influence. But every single day that passes, and especially with the ETF passing, we get closer and closer to having this real convergence of the markets becoming intertwined. And we also see the pricing of these assets becoming more based off of value accrual and what they stand for and the use case and their users that are coming to the networks. And so really we're losing, and this is why a lot of people have also been saying that this is the last cycle. The last real big chance to do, you know, 100x's and get the most value out of crypto and your NFTs and your positions is because we are actually entering that true adoption phase. This is it. You know, Wall Street's coming in. Retail is going to start using this, whether they know it or not. As we watch corporate companies integrate blockchain technology into their loyalty programs, into gaming, into, you know, loans, and then we're going to probably see into other applications within our daily lives. With that said, put some more emphasis on being ready to be positioned. Now, that might be different if you have, you know, $10 million, $1 million, $100,000, you're only playing with a couple thousand dollars, or you have nothing. I think with all of those different scenarios, you can basically extract incredible value out of this cycle. And they do require different strategies, but I don't think you're going to have the same opportunity ever again. This is it. Looking real quick at our charts and just a little bit more defined look at what the actual price movement over the evening looked like. Ethereum was sitting right around the 2650 mark. And then we just had a nice little, you know, I wouldn't say God candle, but we had a nice little bump up and we broke through that initial resistance. Now we are sitting at 2740. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Do we hold up there? Is there selling pressure into this? We could come back and retest this 2700 mark. If we do come back and test this 2700 mark, I'm most likely going to be throwing some buys out there. Again, dips in this market and with what we're seeing are good buying opportunities. This chart pretty much looks the same across the entire industry, as that buying on Bitcoin and Ethereum side did spark buying pressure across the industry. Taking a quick look over at OpenSea, at our top of the market charts, Pudgy Penguins making a rebound from their pullback under 20. As we said, we saw them pull back all the way down to 19. People jumping in, grabbing that dip opportunity. Now we're up to 21. Bored Ape Yacht Club not having that same rebound. We mentioned yesterday they were sitting right around the 23 mark already, and they are still there. So this now narrows to this. I think the smallest gap I have seen is that we see now have a 2 ETH gap between Pudgy Penguins and Bored Ape Yacht Club. Every day that gap is getting smaller and smaller. It's an interesting one. We're going to see a lot of fanfare on that. Probably more than when more cope, more seething, more drama on the timeline than when we crossed 50K of Bitcoin for sure. But keep that one on your radar. Doodles, 3.4 ETH, still staying healthy, still staying above that 3 ETH mark. Good to see that. Azuki still around 7 ETH. You know, the market hasn't been too crazy. On the NFT side, we are seeing some floors still have some sell pressure, purely because, again, there's an inverse correlation to when we see Ethereum and Bitcoin ripping up. There is usually a sell pressure because of the USD underlying value within the NFT market. So let's hop into some news, and I'd like to highlight a very special friend of ours from the 555 Collective, who is Simon. And, you know, I take pride in being able to bully people into making financial decisions. This is one of them. Glad to see Simon picking up this beanie. Pudgy Penguin, he's a brother in that sense. And I'm glad to have him in the huddle. But quick shout out, great acquisition. I think one of the biggest things that I did want to talk about today, and it's a recurring theme, is making decisions and how to continually act off of what you're hearing. And obviously you're tuning into this show because you want to get information out of, you know, hey, where is the alpha? What can I be doing? Where should I be looking? And I think the number one thing is, no matter what I say or somebody else says, no matter what you see an influencer, no matter how much hype you see something on the timeline, you need to have conviction in that. And that conviction cannot be based off of like, well, they're doing it, so I'm going to do it. I think this also goes pretty hard on the venture side, because a lot of these venture deals, you know, you'll talk to a founder and that founder will be like, oh, well, X, Y, and Z are also investing. And so you look at them, you're like, well, they're massive names and they're, you know, they're so cool and everybody loves them. You have to have conviction in it. You know, that is possibly something you can take into consideration after the fact, but I think when you're making a financial decision, you have to believe in it. So if you're going to buy Ethereum, you need to believe that and be convinced and understand that Ethereum is going to be the right choice to make, and why you like it, why you believe in cryptocurrency, what you think the network offers, how they're going to scale, etc. Otherwise, you're also going to have very little conviction when the second that drops, like you're going to be, oh shit, like that was a wrong call. I'm going to sell. And then it goes up. And again, investments do need you to be doing some critical thinking instead of just, you know, trailing people. But yes, that's a very good one to highlight. And a good thing to note as we do get into a crazier and crazier cycle. I also want to highlight another just a thought. These are some things that popped up that I thought we were talking about. Discovered the Unlonely app last night, a media app within the Web3 space. They do streaming, but they also have this essentially token that they have alongside their streams that allows for people to buy or sell alongside the chat. So you have a live stream going. And then essentially, if you don't like what they're talking about or a guest, you can basically just sell their token and they get kicked off. And I thought this was one of the more interesting use cases I've seen within Web3. But I also think that it highlighted something. I think I've seen on Lonely App on the timeline a few times, but I hadn't checked it out. We're in a period right now where being curious, going and checking out protocols, going and checking out what people are building is very EV positive, because you don't know what airdrops are going to come. You don't know what, you know, underlying technologies or other products are using that could lead you to finding something else. And you need to stay curious. You need to be looking. In my case, I went and checked it out. They had a guest on who is a very smart investor in the venture capital space. And I had been following her, but I hadn't checked out what she was doing on her venture side. But by going and checking out on Lonely App and seeing what they're doing, it led me to Variance Fund. And then that ended up having me go through pretty much their entire portfolio and try to understand what their thesis is, where they're investing, where, you know, additional funds are probably going to flow to. And that also then led me to Lens Protocol, and that led me down another whole rabbit hole in the media side. And I think again, the number one thing that you're going to have to bring into this cycle is curiosity, not having a maxi mindset, being ready to hop into, you know, and try out things that don't normally make sense, or you might be fudding, or you might look at and say, well, that's just weird. Like, the Lonely App was like an online dating show where they were literally streaming like dates within the crypto community. And I was like, well, that's so stupid. And if I had hopped in earlier, definitely would have found a couple of contacts, and I would have found out some investment strategies alongside who was in there and you know what they were doing and why they were interacting. I'd have found that much earlier. So another great thing to note. And then I think kind of like a final thought here again on how you need to be navigating some mindset stuff, things that are valuable to know as we head into the next cycle, which is, you need to be looking at the past as much as you're looking at what's happening currently. So 2013 and 2017 are very important cycles to understand. 2017, for those who are unaware, was a very interesting cycle of, you know, coming out of the 15 to 17 kind of bear market of, you know, things going down over the summer. A lot of real shitcoin activity. But 2021, the previous cycle that we're coming out of, is not going to repeat. That's not going to happen again. That was truly a euphoric influx to a new asset class. Like, the market had never seen NFTs before. And so every single day, people were searching for a very lucrative asset class to be, or very lucrative new projects within that asset class to make their returns on. While we are definitely going to see more projects launch, and we are going to see more people checking out things within the NFT space and also the shitcoin space, etc., it is way more competitive. You have more people. There is provenance to other projects. Those other projects now have funds, and they have a history, and they have holder base, and there's, you know, almost a nostalgic factor to some of this stuff as well. And we're going to see a very different meta play out. And I can speculate to how you should play that out, which is, you know, in my opinion, do not go for everything that's just new and shiny and getting screamed at you. Like, I know I said this yesterday. Okay. I know I said, and I screamed about the attention economy, but at the same time, there's attention from previous things that's just going to be there already. And they've already accumulated this attention. And so, you know, I think on the generative art side, everybody's kind of trying to like, oh, what's the next generative art project? Well, as far as attention goes within the generative art community, Chromy Squiggles, Videnzas, those two core things already have so much attention. People are looking at them daily saying, all right, well, if things drop or if there's an entry or something pops up, I'm going to buy one. Same thing goes for things like Meridians, Autoglyphs. On the PFP market, attention is entirely driven to Punks, Bored Ape Yacht Club right now, and Pudgy. And so those right now are going to have an influx when people are getting profits and where is money flow. I think you also need to go back to previous markets, and probably the best study you could do is going back to the 2021 market and looking at where money flowed as the market matured, which is as profits continue to go up. And as we got into those euphoric moments, money was flowing back into Bunks. It was flowing into Cromie Squiggles. It was flowing into, you know, on the crypto side, asset classes like Bitcoin, Ethereum. And we did see certain, you know, very specific meme coins have that money flow into. That's, I think, the best way to navigate and approach this. So, you know, again, this is, I'm trying a little bit different type of a stream. Again, we don't have the topic menu above us, and I'm kind of just going through thoughts and things that I think are worth knowing. If you are in the chat, I am reading it and I am looking to our podcast listeners. I'm sorry you're going to have to deal with me not being able to chat with me, and I hope you're doing well otherwise. But let's get into some of the news and some of the other things that we saw yesterday, and I'll give you some thoughts and also how to navigate around that stuff. We are going to see, even though we're getting back to the bull market, I still think there are many more projects to close the doors ahead of us. Roboto's yesterday announced it was time to end the project completely and step away, leaving us with their final tweet of, "It was a good run. Thank you all." I don't know about you, but that left me with so much, like, it was very like, just drop the mic. There wasn't even like a speech or anything. And then hitting us with the forever and ever log out screenshot. Just, it's a brutal way to go. I understand you have a piece of IP. You're trying to figure out ways to get, you know, these are businesses. I hate that we call them projects. They're not projects. They are businesses, unless you're minting something as just straight up art. It's just art, a generative piece, and that's what you're marketing as, and that's what your initial minters expect. That's a completely different thing. But on the IP side of selling something like Roboto's, holders are expecting you to do something with it. I believe that this was pitched to have been a comic, and there would be some commercial IP use cases, as well as some stuff on the animation side. That did not all pan out. There wasn't a good direction to go during the writer strike, which I know was hard for everybody. And again, I'm not trying to take away from the Roboto's founder. I understand, you know, I don't know the entire story here, but I do know that the writer strike hit them hard. It definitely, for the businesses that I was running during the time, and the people I was working with, I can understand it was a complete shit show for everybody within the animation space. I know very smart people, very talented people, people with, you know, years and years of actual televised animation shows losing deals. YouTube studios pulling back dozens and dozens of deals every single day that were worth, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, because of that writer strike. So definitely not the last project to close its doors. I know we saw another founder leave the space as well yesterday. It's somewhere in these tabs. And we'll, you know, be aware of that. The other thing is, if you have a project right now which you're invested in, and you haven't heard anything, and it's starting to get really like, well, where are they? What are they doing? You should either reach out to them, or you should get out at this point. Because if they really aren't set up and prepared for this bull market, they're just looking for royalties, and they aren't doing much, and they're probably dead, and they're probably just slow rugging you. So go look through your portfolios. That's, if you aren't daily auditing, or at least weekly auditing what you have in your portfolio of NFTs and what they're doing and preparing for the next stuff, you should. That is definitely something you should be doing. Just a funny one. DC investor letting us know right now where we should be expecting to go. We really aren't that far off of all-time highs for Bitcoin and Ethereum, right? We're on Bitcoin side, we're at 52,000 right now, just under 52,000, 51.7. All-time high, 69,000. Ethereum, all-time high, 4,400. Sitting around 2,700. Although that, you know, that's a little bit bigger of a jump. It's been lagging. Again, common theme. I think that gap closes up a little bit. to its all-time high a little bit quicker than people think. Mathematically, we are going to see all-time highs go through this. The speculative numbers and what where we see this going is funny to me. But as far as 100,000 goes for Bitcoin, and I want to say this specifically because I do think, again, Bitcoin is going to have a faster move than what we see Ethereum purely because of the ETF and the head start that it has, which is I do think that we will see Bitcoin cross the 100K mark within the first half of the year. Now, some people are saying like and going crazy with this and saying that, hey, it could be the first quarter, which is the next 6 weeks. That's a little nuts to me. It's possible, but I do think that because of the action that we see, because of the performance that we've already seen Bitcoin, the inflows, we'll talk about, it's coming up next or in four slides here, or more than that, maybe. But we'll talk about that, which is the inflows for Bitcoin just continue to rip. And it's at a pace that really is putting us on the mark to hit 100K within the first half and possibly, you know, earlier than the midway point of the year. And so you should be allocating part of your portfolio to Bitcoin if you have sizable money, or if you're just looking for, hey, Hunter, what is a play where I can just throw money in and I don't have to worry about stuff and I can just go on with my life? It's Bitcoin. For right now, risk analysis wise, it's Bitcoin. And so, yeah, that's got to be top of mind for you. If you don't have a ton of money, there are other ways to play that, knowing that Bitcoin's price is going to increase as much as it is, and it's going to probably bring a lot of money into the ecosystem. There probably are some opportunities within Bitcoin's ecosystem. Now, this is a little bit foreign area for me, but I do believe this. As we see these numbers go up and as we see trading activity come back, you have to understand infrastructure tokens are going to increase significantly, and they will have a probably higher risk, but they will probably have a higher appreciation on token price percentage wise because of us coming out of this bear market and there not being as many fees being accrued there. So when we look at stuff like Rune, which is essentially allowing us to move Bitcoin and other assets cross chain, and you know, be able to go between bridges and do multi-asset swaps right on the spot, something like that, where we see Bitcoin trading and L2s or in their alt layers, and altcoins popping up, Ethereum as well doing the same thing, a company like that or a protocol like that is going to have a great appreciation as we see more and more users jumping in. And so those are other options that you should be considering and looking at. And also, if you have no money, there's going to be tons of airdrops and tons of different things launching within that. So there's going to be opportunity for you to go and test and play with things as we go towards those all-time highs. Probably the most annoying thing that I've seen happen in the market so far has been this this airdrop. If you guys didn't see this, everybody's posting these random numbers. It was like 16 out of 4, 80 out of 4, and just saying you're eligible. Wenzer, this is so annoying. Everybody got these eligible these airdrop. It was crazy. And then everybody woke up to Starknet essentially saying, well, if you didn't use our protocol at all, you get zero. And so obviously I was eligible. I used a bunch of contracts early, getting absolutely nothing. And everybody's up in arms. I think this is bullish. I think this is good. I'm going to take the contrarian thing to the timeline because everybody's basically just begging with their mouths open like baby birds, asking for free money and free handouts. And I get it. You know, airdrops are great. They're cool. But if I didn't use Starknet in any way, I get it. I shouldn't qualify for the airdrop. I get the vampire attacks. I get the, you know, trying to get people into using your product and being aware of it through free money. But that doesn't truly value and give value back to your early true users and keeping the community in. And I do think that the mentality of the space has gotten too much of a, hey, like, you know, free money to everybody, even if you didn't use it. If you were using a different chain, yeah, we're going to give you free money anyway. Come over. It works, right? Like, we've seen it work, but I don't agree with it all the time. And I do think that this is kind of like Starknet putting a a pole in the ground and saying like, look, this is the line. We're not going to just throw free money at everybody. And so this puts more of an emphasis on going out there and using the protocols that are out there, actually moving money around. I did this for Base, and I went through and I looked at Base and I tried to understand exactly what was happening. If they were to do an airdrop of like a Base token, and what have I done on it? Because in my head, I was like, oh, I've been using Base. I do some mints, etc. Well, I've only done, you know, a couple, like 100 transactions. I've only moved like $25,000 on Base. And I think there was another statistic. And I'll drop that in the link below of the YouTube and podcast links at some point after this. But I was able to go and see. I was like, well, I've only used like 25% of what a lot of people are saying are these barrier and tiers to using the network. You go and check these other networks, and just doing a transaction's not enough. You actually need to interact with it and test it out, play with it. You can't just do one thing and be like, all right, I qualify. I think the same thing goes for EigenLayer. We saw a lot of people miss out on that initial, I think it was like 750 on the point side that you had to hit. They just threw in one ETH. And that's it. They didn't do multiple, deposits. They only did a little bit. They're trying to play the very small game. And I get that. It's a risk factor to it. And not everybody has a ton of money. And that one's more financially bound. But you do need to, if there is something that you do want to get an airdrop for and you like the product, you need to use it, because you'll get more rewards and you'll also take off the risk that you don't get anything as well. So it's just a way to think about it and play. Less serious news, and another indicator that we are truly coming back, is that we're starting to see the return of the old cycle entrants who might not have been the best, and they're kind of coming back because crypto all of a sudden is getting a little bit more eyes on it, and they're, you know, we're hitting new highs, and we're approaching local highs. KSI for the Sidemen hopping back in yesterday, and basically he's saying, you know, does this account still work? Comes back, says, hey, is this working? Zach XBT making the quick call to remind everybody, hey, this guy literally was dumping on people. Don't forget, you're going to see a lot of old names return. I think we've seen some other ones as well from the shitcoin era come back. They're going to have large followings. They're going to have a huge engagement. This comes back to having conviction, right? Just because KSI, just because some other person on the timeline is saying, hey, go buy this. One, you don't know who's a LARP unless you see it on the blockchain. You don't know if they're actually buying. But two, also understand that, like, even though their wallet might hold, you know, one ETH of that token, they could have another wallet that you don't know about. That's a ton that they're waiting to dump on you. Comes back to making decisions that you believe in, doing your research, talking to like-minded people to get your help, figure out a plan instead of just one influencer on the timeline telling you to do something. We're also seeing a lot of doodles currently being purchased, but also, again, the premium market continues to be so hot for the doodles. 71.4 ETH purchase for this cat. Now, there is the devil cat and there is the halo cat, this being the devil cat, and this user actually acquiring both now, the halo cat and devil cat, which is a great kind of bet on their IP and their use case. Again, I truly think that Doodles is an IP play. If you are looking to get into the project right now, obviously the play is to buy something on the floor. But if you have a lot of money right now, let's say you're sitting on the sidelines, you have a ton of money. I do think that, and we've seen this play out with Pudgy's IP, and we have to understand this for every project that's doing an IP kind of play for their holders, is that the unique looking characters, the unique looking traits, the ones that stand out, in my opinion, within Doodles, halos stand out. The fire backgrounds stand out. The ones that can be branded, they look good on toys. The ones that could look good in a cartoon would look good on a greeting card. I know this sounds insane, but you have to stop thinking within your old mindset if you've been here for Vermont cycle. The new cycle does look at, hey, can this be licensed on Coca-Cola? Because that's going to be a thing, right? Like, IP licensing protocols and infrastructure exist. If you haven't looked at Overpass IP yet, you need to go look at it. What Pudgy is building there is truly remarkable. It makes it so easy. Can just click, boom, license. I get 20% of anything sold with this Pudgy, and they'll send me a contract. And now it's early stages. It's not truly all over chain, and you still have to do some signing, and there is some paperwork that I think is emailed to you. But for the most part, it's all in browser. You sign in, boom, done. Same thing's going to happen here, in my opinion. I think Board Ape Yacht Club's also going to try to figure this side of their business out. We'll see what the Cool Cats do. We'll see what others that, again, fall within this. Azuki's going to go very hard on the cultural side. We're going to see them do clothing and music, etc. Keep that in mind. For sure, going to be a big trend this cycle. Another thing worth noting and talking about and chatting on is around the token prices that we're seeing. Also, airdrop prices. DYM still at 8.3. Prime all the way up to 11.5. If you are purchasing under 10, congrats. That was an absolute great move. Blur all the way up to 0.73 cents. It was sitting at 63, a nice 20% rip right there. Solana easily could have been bought under $100, all the way up to 116. And again, ETH and Bitcoin at all new local highs for this cycle at 2,751.5. And I think they're even higher now. I think we're at 2,750 and again, 5,170, 700. Yes, there's a lot happening there. Also, be aware, I know because we have a lot of people acquiring Pudgies and there are some holders, there are more airdrops coming. Suio from Second World, their token being a snapshot was taken yesterday. It's going to be airdropped to Pudgy and Little Pudgy holders. So this now brings us up to DYM, Suio, and then there are probably going to be some other ones that get announced in the not so distant future here for Pudgies. My expectation is that this cycle for Pudgy Penguins, you're going to see close to the equivalent of what we saw last cycle for Bored Ape Yacht Club, if not more, which is around 250,000. I think on the NFT side, getting some exposure to Pudgy in some sense, if you've got 2 ETH and you don't own a Pudgy at all, it doesn't seem like a bad risk position to take, given that they are positioned currently as the number one PFP. They are positioned as one of the leading on the e-com and IP side, and they have clearly a lot to come. The company's all the way up to like 70 people. They're well-funded, and they are approaching this from a very cash, like they want cash flow. That's something they are prioritizing on their end. The company needs to make money to exist. And that's different than a lot of these other companies who are saying like, well, royalties is how we're going to exist. That's our business model. But I also think that they aren't doing the trap, which is we're going to go the gaming route. It's going to be an all digital experience, etc. They're dominating the, you know, IRL, physical, the shelves on the stores, etc. side of this, which is even harder in my opinion. And it's unique, because doing things digitally is a little bit easier to just get out there. But it's even harder in some sense to excel and make it something that's doing well for your business. Also, just wanted to kind of close this show out again on some interesting statistics and again, why time is running out and what you need to be doing. So like I said, Pudgies have been being acquired over this last bear market. And a lot of holders are just holding and they're waiting, and we're seeing more new wallets come in. So as we kind of look at this chart here, it's very clear that if you were to look at Bored Ape Yacht Club at the same kind of time period from last cycle, it was a lot of old holders. And then the second we started to see all this attention flow in, you got all these new entrants, and they then became the long-term holders. I am expecting that to kind of continue to increase, which is people that believed are going to continue to believe, and people that buy are going to become believers. That's what you want. You don't want this whole, hey, price is going up, but the entire market has only owned these for like 10 days. You know, the entire holder base has only owned them for 10 days. That means it's very flippy. I think going in to Dune, going and finding people who are putting out charts like this, understanding holding time on top of the number of unique holders, understanding the number of listed, these are all things that are great indicators and KPIs for what's happening within a project. So again, most notably here is Bitcoin and the ETF side. Mando put out this great statistic. Inflows over the last 4 days match the entire inflows of 2023 almost. 2023 having $2.2 billion of inflows. The last 4 days of Bitcoin having $1.6 billion. I still don't think, and he says silly season is starting, I still don't think we're even like early. I think we're very, very, very early still. This is still inning one of a very long game. And, you know, as we come back here, I said the number one thing for the last couple shows is, as we are, and I'll even draw it, as we were seeing this kind of condensing funnel down of, hopefully this is the right way. Well, I can't do anything. as we were seeing this funnel of like inflows and outflows go down, it was heading towards zero. So outflows were really high at the beginning. Inflows were really high at the beginning of the ETF launch. And then the volume drops down. February 3rd to February 7th was kind of this low point. Not a lot of activity on the ETF side relative to the beginning. Then what we saw was an increase, a large ramp up on the inflow side for Fidelity and BlackRock, and now 22 shares or 21 shares. Yesterday was almost the same as the day before, having a net total income or total inflow of $500 million worth of Bitcoin. Today, and this was updated, I think, an hour ago, so there's going to be a little bit of delay on this. 40 minutes ago was updated. Today alone, we're almost at 10% of that. Having a total inflow, and obviously this is a little bit different because of, well, actually, I take that back. That number is probably a little bit off because of yesterday's outflows, but it was only 87 sold by Grayscale. But today, Grayscale sold a little bit more, 148 million. But Fidelity, again, buying another 170 million, and Bitwise buying 11 million. Inflows are continuing. And I think the interesting one is that Franklin Templeton hasn't really made their move, and they've been pretty vocal. And I think this is going to be one of the core asset classes that they want to play in. So I think there's still a lot of laggards. And I think that even though these numbers seem like, oh, wow, the numbers are going up, they're getting crazy, they still have not gotten to what I think we'll get. I think as far as Bitcoin flows are going to go, expect this to go well and towards, and I think, over the $10 billion line. I think the same thing's going to happen with Ethereum. I think that you're going to see even more of a whiplash as people start to see how well this is performing. And again, we are approaching where retail and traditional finance, they are here to play. And this wasn't here before. And because of this, you're not going to have a like true bear market where there's nobody paying attention to Bitcoin and Ethereum anymore, because it's going to be on so many people's books. It's going to be something that Wall Street's talking about, CNBC is always talking about, because the ETF is out there. I think that you need to be looking at the stuff that's on market, the stuff that's off market, the stuff that's coming, no matter what it might be, because there is so much value to be had as we get in. I would compare this to early 2021, that fall winter 2020 kind of vibe, where we haven't seen the craziness pop off, but if you're there, you kind of look around, you're like, it's coming. And then over that year, it got really, really crazy. We're pretty much in the same spot. This feels like February of 2021 to me. But we really didn't see things that crazy till that summer. So there's a couple months to come. Remember, the halving's coming. Remember that there's a lot happening. There's new standards and protocols. There's new initiatives happening every single day. People are trying to improve and get more things launched. But yeah, really a different show. Let me know what you guys thought. It didn't, at least for me, it didn't feel as much flow and concise as usual, but I did want to try to give you a little bit more actionable insight alongside the news that was going. And I do appreciate everybody jumping in chat. I know we got ZVR in the chat. Thank you for joining in, and everybody on YouTube especially, and to our Twitch, are finally up on Twitch, our one Twitch viewer. Thank you for hopping in. So excited and glad that we had a great show. Excited for what's coming next tomorrow. Hit me up in the chat, in the Discord, and I will take care of any questions or comments you have.